Hey, First Things First listeners, it's Jenna Wolf. Before we start today's show, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Pacific Life. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future. Or visit www.pacificlife.com. Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jen Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here, Nick Wright. We start today's show on a serious note. The news of Antonio Brown, as first reported by the New York Times, Patriots wide receiver Antonio Brown has been accused of rape by a former trainer. In a lawsuit filed yesterday, the trainer says she was sexually assaulted by Brown on three separate occasions between 2017 and 2018. Antonio Brown has denied the allegations. The Patriots released a statement saying that the team is aware of said allegations.
All right. I just want the audience to know this. People can read the lawsuit on their own if they'd like to. It's the, you can read it in the New York Times. I read it last night. There are some really gross text messages that Antonio, unless the woman has forged them, that Antonio sent to this woman. Along with three separate allegations of various forms of sexual misconduct ramping up to forcible rape. Antonio Brown in the last 18 months has been accused of throwing furniture off a balcony, almost hitting a child. He then, in response to that, said the people are just out for money. He's been accused of hitting a different woman. His response to that was, that woman is just out for money. He has now been accused of this. His response was, this woman is just out for money. I obviously do not know. No one can know who is telling the truth in this instance. But the allegations are really, really horrifying. And I would say to people, read the lawsuit. You can also read Antonio's response. He's going to countersue Chris. And he says this is an extortion scheme, about $1.5 million business investment with basically a scorned former intimate partner. And so those are the facts on the ground. And I don't know otherwise, other than what people can see on their own, what they want to take from it. But that's the timeline of this, and those are the facts on this.
Yeah, I'm going to wait to hear more information on it. I believe that AB, just like she deserves the right to be able to bring these allegations, he deserves the right to have his side of it heard. We haven't heard that besides him denying it. So I'm just going to allow due process to take place, analyze the things on the field until we get some new information.
And it appears the Patriots are going to do the same. No word yet on whether Antonio Brown plays or not this week and week two.
And they just momentarily go release a statement saying basically the NFL is going to investigate. They're going to investigate. They're not going to have any further comment until those investigations are complete.
All right. Now we'll leave it there and make the transition back onto the football field. Among the other news of the day, the Steelers and Mike Tomlin off to a rough start this season. They were handed a 30-point loss by Tom Brady and the Patriots Sunday night. This week, they host Seattle. They're 4.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet. Tomlin, after a pretty dramatic wake-up call to start this season, hopes his team will rebound.
We're 0-1. And we better be scalded because of that, and we better work our tails off as we prepare for our next opportunity, man. There will be no division in this group. This is how we're wired. This is what we put out there. We're foaming at the mouth for our next opportunity. We better be.
Look, if the Steelers are going to come back, it's going to be a big turnaround after the drubbing they took at the hands of the Patriots. See, do you think they do that? Think the Steelers rebound from their week one loss?
Yeah, I think they can rebound. But the thing about it is this is not just a normal loss. When you lose to an opposition like New England, a team that typically in your drafting, not only are you getting ready for teams like Cleveland, teams like Baltimore, but Pittsburgh, man, they have playoff aspirations every year. So part of their preparation is, what if we face New England? And when the NFL schedule comes out months in advance, as a team, You start preparing for that first game at least a little bit every week. You'll take a section out of practice in your OTAs and say, you know something? We're going to do just a mini section on New England and what they do. So they've been working on this for months. Even though the coaches, they're going to lie. They're going to be like, ah, no, it was just a regular. This is New England opening up the 100th season versus Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. You know that they had an extensive game plan. You know when they took the field, they had a lot of confidence. And none of that showed. So now with this young team, that Big Ben is one of the few players there that's had some type of playoff success. It's a bunch of young guys playing on a team that traditionally has been very good. So how do they respond? I told you, I'm worried about their wide receivers because I'm worried about not only did they lose their wide receiver coach suddenly in training camp, and they hired a good friend of mine, Ray Sherman, to be able to take over, but Juju Smith-Schuster is their leading receiver. He's 22 years old. I don't know of a 22-year-old that I would allow to lead my wide receiving room. And that's a tremendous responsibility, let alone that now he's going to get all that coverage that A.B. was getting.
And that A.B., was my concern.
A.B., man, when you are a top-flight wide receiver, either you are getting double-teamed or they're putting their best guy with help on you. Now Juju Smith-Schuster, he's going to face that. And it is a different world when you're a number one and you don't have another other number one to take that heat off of you. So I'm concerned about the receiving core moving
forward. When you mentioned that you prepare for your week one opponent at least a little bit throughout your offseason, throughout training camp, throughout preseason, I think it's a really important point. Because while Coach Mangini might not like the fact that I can chart out who teams are playing in week seven the moment the schedule comes out, everyone knows who they're playing in week one. Particularly when it's been the team that's the reason that, and this is why the Steelers have made it to 3 Super Bowls in the last 15 years, but the reason they haven't been to 5, 6, 7 has been because they cannot get through New England. They cannot win in that building. They have incredible trouble beating Tom Brady, particularly in the highest leverage spots.
Same way that the Colts used to struggle with New England. Now, let's just imagine Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, playing the first game of the season, and Tom beats him by 30 points. Oh, what would we be saying about their coaching staff?
Absolutely. And if the offense is totally impotent the entire time.
Yes.
I believe this season shapes up to be the toughest ask of Ben Roethlisberger's career. When he first got to Pittsburgh, he had great defenses. He was not asked to be a guy to throw for 4,500, much less 5,000 yards. Once he became a future Hall of Fame quarterback, he every year had a top flight wide receiver and most years had a very good running back to go along with it. This year, I do not believe they have a dominant defense. I do not believe they have an elite number one receiver, even if Juju can turn into that. And right now, James Conner, Jenna, as you and I have talked about, does not look like the upper echelon running back he looked like the first half of last season. So Big Ben, without an elite defense, without a dominant number one receiver, with questions at running game, it all falls on his very broad shoulders. That's a hell of an ask for a quarterback in year 16.
But who asked that? Big Ben was partly responsible for asking for some of that. He wanted his team back. There was always skirmishes between him and everyone else, and that's what he really wanted. Deion Sanders said something really interesting yesterday. He said, after watching the game, I didn't see any fire in Ben Roethlisberger's belly. I didn't see a guy that wanted to go out there and finish plays and get his team back in it. And I wonder how much of this is on Ben Roethlisberger to rally this team. You saw Tomlin got up there and say, hey, this is on me. I didn't prepare ourselves, you know, good enough to prepare ourselves for the Patriots. What do you want to see from Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, this is the thing. If we were to sit down and talk to Ben, and Ben was to tell us the truth of the matter would be that Ben had nothing to do with L. Bell not being there.
Nope.
Had nothing to do with L. Bell not being paid. Now, he had nothing to do with Antonio Brown not showing up to work and forcing the Pittsburgh Steelers to trade him. Even though you can say, oh, man, he said a couple things. That doesn't stop a man from coming to work. And now, since then, we've seen with A.B.'s behavior, no, Ben didn't force that. That was going to be his move anyway because he didn't have any guaranteed money. The thing about it, when you're on the road, and I understand prime time. Primetime is an emotional energy guy. So a lot of times when guys like him, when they give advice, it's based on how they played the game. When you go on the road, it's hard to play with a lot of energy because you have to be focused. And when you have a lot of young players, if I'm playing with a lot of energy and I'm on the sideline, you know what guys say? Man, why is Ben yelling at people? So now it's hard to be a winner in Ben's, because it's Ben trying to be, as they said, he's the only adult in the room. Sometimes you have to take the approach, I'm going to be focused today. I'm not going to be a cheerleader. And that's what the game is about on that day. So I don't have a problem with how he played on Sunday emotionally, but I have a problem with how he played technically. Like, they did not attack this defense the way I expect. They didn't, offensive line didn't help him out getting off to a good start running the ball. Pittsburgh's defense didn't help him out by getting short stops, giving him a short field, and or turning the ball over. So I'm okay with Ben. Right now, I'm going to watch Ben this year, and I'm going to be careful I don't overreact to try to put too much burden on Ben. And Ben's got a tough gig. When you lose L-Bell and you lose A-B, what quarterback have we seen in this era that has lost that type of firepower?
And the roster, whether you're going to put a big burden on him or not, the construct of the roster does put an enormous burden on him, because he is far and away the most accomplished and, I think, the best player on the roster.
I can understand. I'm putting responsibility on Ben to play the type of quarterback. But I'm not going to judge Ben on the way the rest of the team does.
Sure. And
if that defense gives up 30 points, I don't care what Ben is doing.
And I agree with you that when it comes to Le'Veon Bell in particular, I don't think Ben or anyone on the roster had really anything to do with that. That was between Le'Veon Bell, Kevin Colbert, and how the Steelers wanted to pay running backs. One last person, though, that can help Ben Roethlisberger, and that's Mike Tomlin in this regard. I do not think the Steelers are positioned to have another top five offense. And if they're not, that has to adjust how Tomlin goes into things like fourth and goal from the one, down 20 points in the third quarter. Maybe in years past, take the 3 points, you feel like we're going to be able to drive up and down the field later. This year, you're going to have to be more aggressive in situations like that, because points are going to be harder to come by.
And Mike Tomlin said, no matter what, there's no division in this locker room, which is a far cry from what we saw the last couple of years there. So we'll see how they do bounce back. Welcome back to First Things First. In week one, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson had a game to remember, becoming the youngest player in NFL history to post a perfect passer rating, lighting up the Dolphins for 5 touchdowns, 324 passing yards, and an appearance on First Things First. Lamar Jackson joining us live from Baltimore. Lamar, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
We are great. Thanks for getting up and hanging with us. So let's start with what we just saw. How important was it for you and for the team not only to get your first win, but to get a very dominant win right out of the gate?
We don't go into games thinking they'll be dominant. We're playing NFL guys, grown man, and it's a physical game. You know, that's the last chapter within football. And, you know, we just executed very well, offense, defense, special teams, and went out there as a unit and just came out with a victory.
Wait, no one expects to win like that in the NFL game, Lamar, but take me inside of the football laboratory for a quarterback who's trying to develop as a passer. And I do believe that you will be a good passer of the football. Take me from the playoff loss and disappointment to you having the perfect quarterback rating in game number one. What was that offseason like that prepped you for the launching point which you had in week number one?
Just going back, watching myself, watching all the bad plays, you know, within the season, not just the playoff loss. We were coming out with victories during that time period, but, you know, it was a lot of runs going on. I was seeing myself, you know, late on passes, underthrowing my guys. I didn't really have chemistry with my receivers because, you know, I started real late. You know, I wasn't with those guys. But this offseason, I dialed in the playbook, got a new system with Coach Giro, worked hard with my guys, came back offseason, got some throws in, just building chemistry on, and we just took off.
One of those receivers you had instant chemistry with, who you obviously didn't have last year, Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown. Two questions on Marquise Brown. One is, who's faster, you or him? And the other is, how good of a combo can you two be? But answer the first one first, and I want the truth.
The fastest, it got to be him, man. Like, you know, I play quarterback, he the receiver. He definitely the fastest out of us two. And, you know, we didn't really, you know, we wasn't together during OTAs, and we was barely together in camp. You know, he was recovering from his foot injury in college. And, you know, it was a lot of passes that was, you know, out of whack. Sometimes I miss them, you know, in stride. It'd be behind them. And before the game, coach was like, man, we got to have those downfield passes, you know, in the league. Those are big things because you might don't get them again. So you got to take advantage, full advantage of them. And in the game, in practice, I tell them, I'm like, you know, in the game, it's going to be different because, you know, we locked in practice. That's where mistakes happen. And we just, you know, in the game, we just connected. You know, it was a Broward County thing.
Broward County thing. That's great. That's great.
Right. Lamar, you talked about going over the playbook in the offseason and going back and watching some of your poor performances. How much did you work on throwing, just specifically throwing in the offseason, and less on everything else? People already know you're good at, obviously, the running.
I read a lot on throwing during the offseason, you know, with Coach Joshua Harris down in Pompano Beach on my old youth football field in McNair Park. We call College City. But, I worked a lot on throwing, trying to hit my receivers in stride, like I said before, out breaking routes. Each and every pass, you know, you need to win an NFL game. That's what I was, you know, working my hardest on. Trying to throw them off balance, just trying to get each and every throw I can and help, hopefully it will turn over during the game, and it did week one.
You mentioned several things I'm very familiar. You know, I came to watch you play in high school. You know, I used to coach there in Broward County. You giving a shout out to Hollywood right. And everything. Another guy who spends a lot of time in South Florida is Mark Ingram. Him coming over, we know he was successful at Alabama, successful there with the Saints. But tell me about him being the featured running back in this offense. And I know you've probably spent a lot of time with him because he's a great leader. Has Mark not taken you under his wing and showed you how to be a pro in his short stint there in Baltimore?
Definitely, man. You know, I asked him a lot about Drew Brees, you know, how he take his business. You know, Mark's a great leader. He's a explosive back, man. I tell him he reminds me of the old Mark. Like, he been in the league probably a year or two. He run the ball very hard, man. He a great back. I'm just glad he's here with us in Baltimore right now.
Lamar, after your game, perfect passer rating, 4 touchdowns. You're just spectacular. You joked, not a bad performance for a running back. I'm curious how much of a chip on your shoulder remains from people, despite you winning the Heisman Trophy and maybe should have won 2 Heisman Trophies as a quarterback, that coming into the NFL, some people were wondering whether you should change positions.
You know, it's a chip on my shoulder. The Heisman just came, you know. I won the national championship. You know, the Heisman came, you know, with great teammates around me, great coaching staff at Louisville. And second year, you know, Baker won it. I was happy he won. You know, I didn't really care about winning it again. You know, I had one of my own. I'm just grateful for the opportunity I had to, you know, receive one. And, you know, people is always going to be doubters. I don't really care about the doubters, you know, just moving forward. Got week one out the way, you know, we ready for Arizona now.
Lamar, last year was a bit of a whirlwind for you. The way you were drafted, where you were drafted, the way you started your season, all the talk about your running, your throwing. Now you came out after week one, after win one, and you really showed people who you want to be. What's been the biggest change from year one to year two? You're kind of the man now. I'll admit it.
Yeah, kind of a man. I just say you just a year older. I say I'm a man now, right? I was in the league a year. I got that out the way. Just had a full offseason to myself instead of, you know, going through the draft process, doing these little workouts and stuff. You know, I was just working out my team and just, you know, dialed into the playbook. Just worked hard on throwing and just got to keep going.
All right, real quick, one clarification for my colleague Jenna Wolf. She said you're kind of the man now, not a man. No one was questioning if you were a man before. Okay. She said you're the man, the unquestioned. He thought you said he's kind of a man.
No, he's like the Mac Daddy.
The man. Okay, well, we got you.
Oh, okay.
All right, so what advice would you give, not that you're in a position to help your opponent, but after week two, when you and Kyler meet at midfield, hopefully for you after a Ravens win, what advice would you give him as a rookie quarterback in this league with some stylistic similarities to you?
Just play ball, you know, do what you did in college and high school, you know, just be yourself. You know, he's a great player, man. I I watched him. You know, he was number one dual threat when I came out of high school. Me and him came out at the same time. He a great quarterback. So, man, just be you and ball out.
What is Coach Harbaugh doing? Because I know he's one of the great teachers, the only coach to ever be a special teams coach, but he is an educator. What input has he had in your overall development? This offseason, he told the media, listen, he's going to develop. He's going to run. Sometimes he's going to throw. But he's our quarterback. How instrumental have the confident words that Coach has said about your performance leading to you being successful?
Coach, you know, Coach Harbaugh just let me be myself, man. That's all he tell me. You know, just go out there. You know, they say you can't do this. Just show them, because, you know, I do it in practice all the time. And the guys were just saying, man, you know, we just can't wait to see, you know, trans over to the football field, you know, regular games. I was like, it's going to happen, you know, last year. But, you know, this year, you know, you guys seen it first week. You just got to keep going. Coach Harbaugh just said the same thing, you know, just keep going. It's only week one. You know, we just got to do it 15 more games.
Lamar, is there a quarterback in the league that you look up to that maybe you want to play like, or maybe that isn't even playing anymore, but the whose game you watch and you want to emulate?
Nah, I watch every quarterback in the league. You know, it's a reason, you know, we all here. But I don't want to be like any other quarterback. You know, just be myself. If anything, just, you know, even better myself. If anything, one quarterback I say Tom Brady. You know, he has 6 championships, and that's what I'm trying to be at. Yeah, I say Tom, if anyone.
All right.
Lamar, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm going to be covering the game this week, so I'll be at practice on Friday. I've talked to you a number of times before, looking to see you build on the great performance in week number one. Thanks for joining First Things First this morning.
All the best, Lamar.
Appreciate you guys.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. All right, we got some breaking news out of Kansas City. Chiefs dynamic wideout Tyreek Hill is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with the collarbone injury he suffered Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The team does not plan to put Hill on IR. So, Nick, how do you think this injury impacts the Chiefs' offense?
Well, I think Tyreek Hill is, other than Patrick Mahomes, obviously, the most important singular player on the offense. But if what we saw on Sunday against Jacksonville is any indication, they're going to be just fine for the next 4 to 6 weeks, particularly if Sammy Watkins is anywhere close to the Sammy Watkins that we saw on Sunday. Now, I don't think he's going to have 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, probably again all year. But the amount of speed they can put out on the field, even without Tyreek Hill, with Sammy Watkins, with Mecole Hardman, who, keep in mind, they drafted as a Tyreek Hill replacement when they thought Tyreek might be suspended for part of, if not the whole season. I think they're going to be just fine in the short term, even though he and Patrick Mahomes are the most dynamic, deep threat, quarterback-wide receiver combo we have in the league.
Yeah, that's probably, if you look at their offense, what's the player best being injured? I wouldn't want Sammy Watkins because his overall confidence would kill him. Travis Kelce would affect the offense. So if there is a guy in Tyreek Hill, he's the most explosive wide receiver we have in the game, I would prefer it be him. And the reason why, we have the young kid on the shelf who can replace some of his running ability. But there's two things he can't replace. He can't replace him as a punt returner. He is one of one. I have never seen anyone as fast and as explosive as he is returning kicks. And he doesn't know the offense. This is Andy Reid's offense. This is a complicated offense. He can't line up in all 4 wide receiver spots. So that productivity from Tyreek Hill, you have to say, okay, Sammy Watkins, I want you to take over some of the receiving. Sammy Watkins is going to come down to earth, too, because we talked about A.B., Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah. He getting ready to get that number one attention because in game number one, They didn't have the offseason that Jalen Ramsey could have said, you know something? I'm going to shut down Sammy Watkins. Y'all contain the rest of them. Yeah. No, when you get into a game, it's hard for teams to change their point of emphasis after weeks and months, especially being the first game. Oh, how do I adjust? So Sammy Watkins, I'm going to say this. He surprised Jacksonville. They were not expecting that version of Sammy Watkins. So just expect a little bit of an adjustment. But the overall run productivity, it can be replaced because the skill set of the rookie is very, very similar to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but remember, Tyreek Hill didn't start off in that place. He had to develop into that. And what happens is they're going to have to try and find a unique role for him. You can't try and replace the productivity and the skill set of Tyreek Hill just because they're both fast, both because they're better short doesn't mean that, okay, just insert player and you're going to get the same productivity. And now teams are going to just say, you know what, let's jam Sammy Watkins because he had struggled getting off the ball. Mm-hmm. He's a different, taller receiver. So now guys were off because now you know you're a man-to-man and you don't have safety help because you're rolling cover to Tyreek Hill, and you're using the extra resources on your safeties, on Kelsey, because you know your linebackers can't go. So now if I'm a defender, I'm licking my chops because now I know, okay, we can stop Sammy with our best corner. We don't have to put our number two corner over there and put the safety over there and then put our number one guy on the other guy. Now we can just go and we can get in the game plan. So now he's going to get that smoke, and does that affect his confidence? And really, when I look at it now, let's look at the schedule. They're going to have the Ravens, the Colts, and the Texans. Those are going to be tough games because, you know, they're equally. And I'm not really all bought in on this Chiefs upgraded defense yet. You know, I know, Spagnuolo's there, but you don't know. I want to see them tested a little
Spagnuolo's
bit more.
Spagnuolo's put some bad defense on the field.
Yeah.
Recently.
Well,
yes.
But they supposed to upgrade it, you know, Frank Clark and all that.
Six new starters.
Right, so we'll see, you know, what that's all about. But, you know, they're going to be tested against the Ravens and that dynamic offense. They're going to be tested against the Colts. They're going to be tested against the Texans. Can they withstand that? They may lose a couple of those games because they don't have the threat of Tyreek Hill.
Well, I'm not as worried about the Colts and Texans, but in the next 6 weeks, they play, you mentioned Baltimore, and they go to Denver. Last year, the two games where the Chiefs' offense was held in check the most was a home game against Baltimore, which is what they have after this week, the game that was saved by a Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill 4th-and-9 late in the game when the Chiefs were drawing dead, and that road game on national television against Denver when Mahomes saved it with the left-handed pass.
You're not concerned with those Texans? That offense is explosive, so they can go throw for throw because it's not about who has the best offense. It's about who has the worst defense.
Yes. Anytime you play against an explosive offense, you should be concerned because the recipe to beating Kansas City is keep the ball away from them.
Right.
And if you can see 10 of their last 20 games, well, in 10 of their last 18 games, they've given up over 400 yards. So for me, at some point, I need to be able to see some type of defense before I just keep making these excuses. Oh, they got six new starters. They got a new defensive coordinator. Well, but if I keep getting the same results, so I'm going to wait. Yep. I'm going to wait to see.
Okay, well, two things. One is it's been 1 week of the season, so it's not at some point. It's not like we've been talking about this for months. They've played one game this year under the new
Yeah, but it's just like the Browns. What were you concerned about the Browns before the season? Their offensive line. And then they play back.
Absolutely.
Well, they lost Greg Robinson.
Hold on a second.
Kick it.
That's equivalent.
300 pounds.
That's equivalent to doing a windmill.
Go ahead.
Come on, man.
I want to make sure you understand what I was saying when I said I'm not worried about Indy or Houston. We're talking about the Chiefs in the context of their offense, the loss of Tyreek Hill. Even without Tyreek Hill, I think the offense is going to put up 35-plus against Indy and Houston. Concerns about the defense against every team in the league until proven otherwise. The point I was making about Baltimore and Denver is we saw the Chiefs' offense, which is mostly the same as last year, even with Tyreek Hill, struggle to put up points and yards against Baltimore at home and at Denver. In this stretch where they're supposed to miss Tyreek Hill, they play Baltimore at home and they go to Denver. Those are the two games his absence could be the most damaging. The defense struggling against anybody is almost absent of Tyreek
Hill. What I'm trying to tell people about Kansas City, they're not going to lose because of their offense.
Right.
All right? I was on a team like Kansas City. Man, me and Moss used to make bets before the game. Man, how many are we going to get today? I said, man, at least 30. How many touchdowns are you going to score? We used to bet. Moss, okay, I'm going to give you, I think I can get one, but I'm only going, if I can score over 50 yards. So I've had that type of confidence. Yeah. But what ended up happening?
Give up 45.
We play Tampa Bay, and they give it to Mike Allstott, and that clock is going tick, 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 tick. So it's not New England 43 minutes. So we can keep talking about their offense much as they want to.
Right.
How are they going to lose? Keep the ball away from them. So any team that can have some ball control, their offense don't have to be explosive. But I can keep that ball away from you. And Patty Mahomes, that tick, 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 that's an opposition for them this year is the clock.
Keep away. Right, you limit the possessions. You take the air out of the game, and it forces you to make sure that you score on those possessions. You have one turnover, and the game flops, and then you go down by two scores. Game over.
But does this mean maybe Shady McCoy's role changes just a little bit? Do we see a little bit more of him?
Well, I'm high on Shady McCoy.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal football player who's in a system that fits him. Andy Reid is not getting ready to hand it to Shady McCoy between the tackles and say, hey, big fella, go in there and make something happen. No. He's going to put him in space. He's going to put him with linebackers. This is the best offense that Shady's ever been on. Man, all he's got to play is 15 to 20 plays a game, matched up against linebackers in space. Yeah. Then I do all these things with these wide receivers, hit him on an inside zone with Patty Mahomes. This is a dangerous offense. Shady McCoy decided to go to a perfect spot for him. So now Tyreek Hill, week number two, I look for Shady McCoy to continue and Andy Reid to build on the number of plays he played in week number one, Bart.
And you want to get him touches, right? You want to get Shady out in space. You want to get him screens. You want to get him screens, draws. And the misconception about Shady is he can't run in between the tackles. He runs in between the tackles, but as soon as he breaks the second level, he's going to bounce it and get those yards.
One point, though. You said that this is a team where if you have a defense like this, if you get down two scores, game over. That's flatly not the case. The Chiefs last year weren't down two scores often, but in the Patriot game, they're down two scores at halftime both times, took the lead in both of those games. If they were built the opposite, if you're a team where you have to hold a team to 17 to win, you can get down 10 and feel like you're drawing dead. The Chiefs last year, and offensively they are very similar, could be down 14, 15 points as they were against the Super Bowl champs, and the offense can come back because your point on the turnover, while bad defense, we don't know how much that has changed. You are also one turnover being forced away from getting back-to-back possessions. And if you score every time you have the ball, you can be right back in the game.
Yeah, they're not like a typical explosive offense because they have such big play capability. They can have three plays and have a touchdown, and next thing you know, you're back out
defense
there.
Back
you get three out and get the ball back. It's totally opposite of everything you've experienced. Everything you experienced, defense, we're getting ready to win this. Everything I've experienced has been offense is going to win this. But being on those offensive teams, I realized when that team had the ball, regardless of what kind of respect you gave them, tick, 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 man, that clock. We're fighting against the clock every single game because we don't have the help of a defense.
All right, Bart, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
The Vikings coming off a 28-12 win over the Falcons on Sunday, thanks in large part to Adam Thielen, who got the scoring started with a first quarter touchdown. And we welcome in the star wide receiver now. Adam, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, there's no better way to start the season off than a win and the way you guys did it over a good team in the Falcons. How good did that feel? How important was that for the organization?
Yeah, it feels good. Like you said, it's a great start, obviously. You go through training camp, you go through OTAs, and And you do all that, and you're just kind of preparing for that week one, and it's a long process. So it felt good to be back out there with our teammates and kind of show what we can do a little bit. But we have a long ways to go, and now we're focused on Green Bay.
Adam, I'm so glad to have you on the show. You always know that you're one of my favorites and everything. You're a great example of hard work, discipline, and it being paid off. We got a lot of diva wide receiver news going around the league. I'm so glad that my Vikings receivers aren't involved in that. I'm so glad AB's not there. Now, I know Diggs got a little diva in him. Now, Diggs told me on the slot.
Where are we going?
Hey, this guy right here, he got a little in him, but not as much as myself. Are you and Diggs going to be wearing a watch this weekend? Because my partner over here has been telling people all morning, it's okay to wear a watch. It's okay. It's okay. Will you have on a watch when you go to Lambeau Field this weekend?
Well, Diggs actually holds me back from being too big of a diva, so he's got my back on that. But I don't know. It depends on what company's going to promote us and give us a good watch to wear.
Thank you, Adam. That is a great answer. And now I'm going to get to the football. Great job, Adam Thielen. All right, it's not very often you can have 43 receiving yards, and that's nearly half your team's receiving yards, and you guys win going away. I thought I was watching Chris's old Ohio State Buckeyes. We're going to throw the ball 8 to 10 times and just grind it out. It was a very different game for you guys. Great game because of how you dominated time possession, how you dominated the Falcons throughout. How different was the start of this season to when you think the beginning of last year when you guys aired it out as much as any team in football? And tell me about that approach going into the year.
Yeah, it's a lot different, but at the same time, you know, for us, we don't really care. As long as we're winning ball games, it doesn't matter how we get it done. You know, we're going to have games like this where you have a ton of rushing attempts and you're able to run the ball efficiently, so you don't need to pass. But there'll be other games where we'll have to throw the ball to win. We'll have to convert key third downs, and we'll have a tough time running the ball. So teams are going to key on our run game when you have an explosive guy like Delvin back there. And that's when we have to make sure that we're prepared and ready to make plays in the passing game.
How much will you guys actually lean on him now that he's healthy moving forward?
Well, I mean, you saw it on Sunday. I mean, he's such an explosive player. He's such a great teammate, and he can do so many things. He not only is a great running back, but he can also, you know, spread out, and he can catch the football as well. So we're very fortunate he's on our team, and there's no doubt we're going to ride his coattail. We're going to be, you know, keying heavily on him and relying on him to help this team get to where we want to be.
Thielen, as a Vikings fan, I'm very, very fortunate. Last season, you guys eclipsed 100 catches, first time in Vikings team history. And, man, them records up there for the Vikings, they're hard to break. They've had some pretty good receivers. What are you and Diggs talking about going into this year that would allow the team, we know they want to run the ball, but how you guys would play to improve to get you back into the playoff hunt?
Yeah, you know, I think Diggs and I, mindset's always been very similar, and we talk about it a lot. We're going to come out here. We're going to do our best. Whatever play is called, we're going to go win. And even if we know we're not getting the ball, we're going to go show that we can get open and that we're open on every play. So the coaches, the quarterback, you know, our team has confidence that if we do need to throw it, that we'll be open and that we'll be ready. So that's kind of our mindset. We're going to go try to win on every rep and prove that we can do that at a high level every week in and week out.
All right, a couple things about this weekend's game against the Green Bay Packers. First of all, Chris has said when you play for the Vikings, when you get the schedule, one of the first things you're looking at is what month are we playing in Green Bay? So I'm sure a bit of a relief for you that it's early as opposed to late. But maybe more importantly, they're on national TV to start the season, so they get a few extra days to prepare for you guys. And you have to have seen a drastically new and improved Packers defense as opposed to what we've seen in recent years. Your thoughts on the challenges the Packers can propose from a defensive perspective this season?
Yeah, it's a totally different look than they had the past few years. They have guys on the outside that are aggressive. They have a lot of guys mixing in that they kind of keep them fresh and healthy. And they have some veterans, too, that have played a lot of football. So they understand the game. They understand route concepts, things like that. So they have a lot of guys that have a lot of experience in this league, and it's going to be a good challenge for us. So we're excited about that. We know that it's going to be there's no easy games in this league, and especially when you're playing Aaron Rodgers and obviously, like you said, a new and improved defense. So Should be a good challenge for us, and we're excited to start preparing for that.
No easy games and no easy teams in your division. The NFC North is a good competitive division this year. Who do you guys see as your biggest challenger? Do you think it's the Packers? Is it the Bears? Who do you guys look at as your biggest challenge?
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day, just watching some of these games. We were able to pretty much watch all the teams in our division because they played at different times. So there's some really good football players and some really good teams in our division. And I can't, it's week one. You can't really say who's the best. But we know we're going to have a challenge week in and week out, and we got to play those guys twice, each team twice. So we know we're going to have a challenge. We know that we are prepared, and we know that how important these divisional games are.
Well, Adam, you know this. I'm jealous of you for several reasons. One, you're playing with my favorite team. Number two, if I come back for one game, I got to play in U.S. Bank Stadium. Number three, man, that type of money that the wide receivers are making. But by the way, that's no big deal. But my favorite place to play, if it wasn't U.S. Bank Stadium, would be in Lambeau Field. Explain to sports fans what you're getting ready to experience Sunday when you play the Pack in Lambeau.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Anytime somebody asks me, where's my favorite place to play other than U.S. Bank, it's definitely Lambeau. I mean, there's really nothing like it. It's not necessarily how loud it is because it's not the loudest stadium, but I think it's just the feel. It feels like football. There's bleachers in the stands. Like, what NFL stadium has bleachers? And, as far as, advertisements, there's not a whole lot of advertisements. Pretty much everything is green and gold. So it's a very unique place. It's a very cool place and a very fun atmosphere as a football player to play in.
You guys had such a potent rushing attack on Sunday that Kirk Cousins got in on the action. 6 carries for 4 yards, not a very impressive average. However, a very impressive touchdown and touchdown celebration from Kirk Cousins, and you are prominently featured in this. Can you walk me through what we're seeing here and the inspiration and the choreography that went into this?
Adam? Don't hold back, Adam. Give us details.
Well, Kirk is very intrigued by our dance moves, mostly digs, but we all kind of mix in some that we like, and so he gets very intrigued and he wants to learn them and then wants to do them on the field. So I was a little caught off guard that he was going to pull it off week one, but it was a good dance. He pulled it off, but that was all credit to Diggs. That was his dance move.
I see your rookie centers coming in there, and then he sees you guys dance, and he's like, "No, I'm gonna sit out on this one."
Yeah, we got to keep him up to pace because I don't think he's ready for what he's in for as far as our celebrations go.
All right, Adam, we thank you so much for joining us. All the best of luck to you this weekend with the Packers and for the rest of the season and for getting up early to spend some time with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for being a class act. The difference between class and...
Hey, man, I'm going to send you one of them watches, Adam.
But if the NFL tells you not to wear it, you try just wear it.
Thank you so much, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.